around us, Lord. Lord, it is well with our soul. Though 1,000 fall to our left, 10,000 to our right, it is well with our soul. Though the front page of the newspaper or Wall Street or the terrorist abound, Lord, it is well with our soul because we are your children. And anything that happens in our life has to first be Father filtered through you. And we just bless you, Lord. We just praise your holy name. Listen, I don't know the storm that you're going through in your life. Maybe your marriage, maybe your career, just maybe in your heart. There's only one way that it can be well with your soul. That's if Jesus is Lord of your life. It's a Frenchman by the name of, French descent, Villa de Hue. It's over 100 years ago when there was no jet service from London to New York. I don't know if you know, but it's those steam ships that would bring people across the Atlantic. And this man of God couldn't catch the steamer with his wife and children. Several children. I don't want to give the amount because I'll probably get it wrong. Possibly four or five or more children. And like many times in the Northern Atlantic, it's inclement weather. And Titanic wasn't the first or the last ship to go down. But anyway, rumor got back that the ship that held his family went down in the North Atlantic. And even in the 1800s, they did have telegram. He got a telegram from his wife. So he thought that was good. And of course, it was good. But what she told him was she was the only survivor, and all their children perished in the Northern Atlantic. As he was making plans to meet with his wife and catch the next steamer, I guess somewhere between Nova Scotia and Iceland, he asked the captain, "Could you please let me know if we're following a similar route of the certain ship?" And the navigator said, "I'll be glad to. We're following the exact same route. I'll let you know when we get over that part of the Atlantic where the ship went down." I guess a couple hours later, the bell captain got the man and said, "The captain wants to see you at the bridge or that part of the ship." And he got there. He said, "This is where it happened. This is where the ship went down." With all kind of emotions, knowing that his children, all of them, were lost, God gave him this song. "It is well with my soul." So when you sing about the sea billows rolling, you'll kind of understand really what it means. I don't know if anybody had that type of week this past week. I don't think so, because I think I would have been notified, and I'm sure glad that I didn't get any news such as that. But what you're going through to you could cause the same amount of pain. Maybe just fear, maybe sadness. It may not be to such level, but God still knows and he still cares. I want us to stand, if we could, again, please. Would you stand with me? I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to consider the biggest problem that you're going through right now. Physical, concerned about your children. all the categories. I'm going to ask you one question. Is it well with your soul? Second question is, if it's not, how are you handling it? How are you handling it? Because the truth is, you can't. You repeat it in your mind, round and round. You can't even just get away from it. But God cares. He can handle it. Matter of fact, the scripture says He is able to keep that which we commit to Him, even until that day. What I'm going to tell you, friend, I've seen so many people bite the dust spiritually. Men and women of God, should not be. And why it happens in the church, like sometimes outside the church, is because we try to handle it. We can't. We can't handle it. But He can. You got to understand that. That at your weakest moment, on your weakest moment, greater is He that's within you than he that's in the world. And He doesn't hold up your past against you. So what is it tonight? Because He wants to be well with your soul. And it can be if you just trust Him. And just say, God, I can't deal with it. I can't figure it out. I get a headache sometimes trying to figure it out. I just seem to be caught in a circle or a cycle of regret. And God says, that's not the life that I choose for my children. So, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we stand before You tonight. I don't know if we could make a song out of such tragedy. We like to believe we could. But nevertheless, Jesus, You were touched by our infirmities. And there's infirmities here. Some are infirmities of rejection. Some are infirmities of fear, poverty, anguish. And You're saying to us, I have peace for you. I will take care of you, just trust me. And the joy of the Lord will be your strength. So, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, whatever it is, Lord, whether I've inventoried it tonight, whether I mentioned it tonight, Lord, You know what it is. And, Lord, like the cloud of Your presence, Lord, Lord, in the name of Jesus, just rest upon Your people tonight. Lord, right now, Lord, You said it's the anointing that destroys the yoke. Not by the power of suggestion, not by some spiritual hype, but we have Your word on it that the anointing shall destroy the yoke of heaviness, the yoke of disappointment. For You said hope doesn't disappoint. For the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, descend upon each and every person tonight. God wants you free. He so wants you free tonight. He so wants you free. The enemy wants to keep you bound to your past, to your fear, to your failures. Because if he could mess with your joy factor, He's tapped your strength. And it need not be. But I know Jeremiah needed 30 of his friends to get him out of the pit. And since we are our brothers and sisters' keepers, maybe this is just something you can't just do. And that's okay. Wherever you find yourself tonight, God wants to lift you out. You just raise your hand if you just need to be lifted out of something. You need to be lifted out. You just come on, just lift it up throughout this place. Just lift it up. You can't do it. You can't lift yourself up, and that's okay. He just wants us to be honest before Him. He wants us to be honest. Come on, put your hand up higher, okay? Come on. You know, we're not going to experience revival like we had in 96, and not that it's going to be the same. If we don't just are broken before Him, recognize it. We need Him. We need each other. And believe it or not, He needs you. He needs us. But we got to deal with the issue of heaviness in the house of God. And this should be the first place that it's dealt with. Now I'm going to ask something else now. I'm not going to ask you to come forward, but I want you to just keep your hand up, please. High enough. Now listen. Men, if you see a man, if your hand's not up and you're a member of this church, now I'm a fuss budget on this because I believe you've got to know them who labor among you. So we got to build relationship. So men, if your hand is not up, I want you to look around. I want you to move out where you are and put your hand on the shoulder of a brother. Ladies, I want you to do the same thing. If your hand's not up, you're a member of this church, I want you to come, move out from where you are and find a lady who's on. There's a lot of ladies here. Hands up, please. Move out from where you are, please. I need you, women of God. If your hand's not up, you see a sister with her hand up, please. You don't have to counsel. You don't have to do anything. Jesus was touched by the infirmities of people. And I believe so must we. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, you see every man, every woman here tonight. The reason why we could say, like the Apostle Paul, we're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ is because we're not ashamed of our need for the gospel. Right here, right now, you said, whatsoever we bind here on earth shall be bound in heaven. You said, if any two of us shall agree, touching anything they ask of the Father here in heaven, you would do it. In the name of Jesus, heaviness, you have no legal authority. Condemnation, therefore, there is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Fear, false evidence appearing real, you're a liar. Jesus, you said, I will give him or her perfect peace, whose heart and mind stayed on thee. Lord, we thank you. There's no need for rejection in this house or fear. In the name of Jesus. And he sent his word, Psalms 107:20, and his word healed them and delivered them. Health break forth speedily. Peace like a river come. Joy unspeakable. Full of glory. In the name of Jesus. You know, the natural thing is that you're going to start looking for answers. You don't have to look for answers. You'll get yourself dizzy. What do I do now? Maybe that's your question. You don't do anything. It's really about Him. He'll perfect that thing concerning you. In one moment, this little small voice is just saying, this is the way to go, walk in it. He wants us to have more faith in Him than faith or pressure in ourself trying to figure out what he wants to do. That's not peace for a believer. And that's the revelation I believe God's going to do in this next move of God. He's going to do it, starting with you. And he's going to set people free that don't know him, or that once did. And it's not going to platform anything. It's not going to have a religious bone to it. And this way, God's going to get all the glory, and you're going to be able to enjoy walking in his presence. And people are going to get set free. Amen? It's good to see you tonight. So good to see you tonight. It's raining all last few hours. Like the presence of the Lord, you know? It cleanses us and refreshes us. And God is nothing. Great job, gang. We're going already. Let's go.
God bless you. Thank you so much for being here tonight. We appreciate you being here. If you're a first-time visitor, you'll see a packet of information there before you. It'll be very helpful to you. It will share with you a lot of things that happen here at First Assembly, how to be a part of those things. Men, tomorrow night, Mega Men at 6 o'clock. You'll see information about that in there. We meet in the fellowship hall at 6. And sometimes you might be running a little bit late, you know, coming home from work. That's okay. Some guys get there at 6:45, and they recognize. And they'll be the first to tell you it was worth just the 15 minutes that they spent here. So thank you so much for doing that. You'll see other things in there. For instance, you'll see, like in the bulletin, parents night out. That's this Friday. If you want a night out, bring your children here, and the children's ministry will take care of them here and feed them and all that. They'll have a lot of fun here and a lot of games here. I've hung out a few times here with the kids and Pastor Don and the rest of the workers, and it's a hoot. And while you're out having fun, they're having fun here. So, and also, ladies, you'll see women's ministry coming up next Tuesday. You'll see information about that as well. And check that bulletin out. You'll see other things that are happening there, and take note of those things as well. Ushers, would you come and give us the privilege of giving? One thing that also in that bulletin you'll see about the chair, you might not have had a chance to do that yet. And if you haven't, there's two ways you can do that. You can do that tonight, or if you go online at the website, you'll see a place to be able to give there to designate towards the chairs. And boy, it's a lot has come in for that. So thank you for being faithful to do that. And again, when God's people are faithful, that's when things happen. So thank you so much for doing that. Dan Davis, would you pray, please?
So that your gospel can go forth, so that your kingdom can increase, Lord. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that your tithes and our offering will go forth mightily with your blessings. And we ask this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. I mean, also during the offering, if you have not got one of these green handouts yet, if you just slip your hand up and someone will get to you and make sure that you get one of those. If you haven't got those yet, leave your hand up till you get one. Thanks.
Everybody hold their green thing up. All right, see a green, right. You know, sometimes you see something so often, if you're not careful, it loses its impact. And sometimes the most simplistic things that you covered jump out in your face. Here's an example. It may not mean much to you, but again, just look at this. Title. There's not one. Remember, I asked, I don't know what service it was. I asked if who wants a cursed life? Nobody raised their hand, which is good. That was the right answer. Okay? But for the blessed life, which everybody wants, and you should want everybody to want it, including your enemies. You know, even bless your enemies, you know? I mean, that sounds insane until you do it, And it's fun because it starts terrorizing them. So that's one of the reasons why it's fun. You thought it was going to give you a real spiritual reason. But then they become something that they couldn't before. But we got to believe for it. Think about it. You know, believe for the blessed life. And if we can get anything out of this adventure over the next several Wednesday nights, it's not for anything that's temporal or shallow, but it does take humanity in cooperation with divinity. God has the harder job, if you would, and it's a piece of cake for him, or a piece of lamb, maybe. Okay, it's easy for him. For us, we have a part. It's not the hardest part. Only we make it. Is that we have to believe. We have to believe. We started this adventure in January. I didn't expect it to overflow until Wednesday night, so I don't want you to think that that's what's happening. But it's this series of Wednesday night is the blessed life. How do we capture it with something that's based on the parameters of Scripture and something that works from the inside out? And I believe that's what we're starting to find. And I'm thrilled to be on this adventure with you. And so we entered to part two. What test? Okay? And you're going to see that in a little while if we get to it. But, you know, I don't know if you're one of those students that ever asked that question. You know, you're in class and all of a sudden the professor, the teacher makes an announcement of a test. And probably the worst words you could ever say is what? What test? You're in trouble already, right? What test? God must be first. And did you know that every one of us face a test? You can follow along with me. Every week, maybe it's every 2 weeks or monthly. How is that? We'll find the answer shortly. Here's another question. Would you like the benefits of blessing versus cursing? Of course you would. The second question is also, it's a no-brainer. Of course we would. So if we want blessing, we have to reconfigure our heart and even our mouth of getting in the practice of blessing. Please. This is so elementary. It is so profound. And just by getting, if we have it within the power, the Scripture says, to bless. And when you start speaking blessing, it is incredible. And I shared with you last year, that's the reason why out of all the ethnic groups of every nation around the world, the least incarcerated ethnic group amongst adolescents around the world are Hebrew boys. This was a secular study, and we have law enforcement here and ex-correction officers. The reason why, in their finding, is that there was the practice of imparting blessing to the children. Out of every nationality, every SECT, every religious group, of speaking blessing. And of course, we study the Scripture says life and death is in the power of the tongue. So we need to speak life and blessing so we could also be the benefactors of it, okay? I desire for all of you to believe unto blessing. As your pastor, when you hurt, I hurt. That's true. Sometimes when others hurt us or the evil one hurts us, but self-imposed pain need not happen. What I'm basically saying there is probably the worst pain is self-imposed pain. It's just like in warfare, friendly fire is the worst type of fire. 3 John 1:2 says this, "Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul." There's a few spiritually biblical things I want to share with you before we get into the meat of the test and probably the more entertaining or more humorous part that's going to come up shortly. And I want to do this right away between part one and part two. And I accumulated some verses and some truths here that want to give us wisdom and a healthy reverence of the Lord. Proverbs says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Okay? So let's look at the violations of these things so that they could be safeguards for us, okay? Spiritual and practical food for thought. violations of God's word that bring loss. Now, as we cover these, I'm going to read them slowly. And in the event that the Holy Spirit convicts you, even if you're free and you're not living in that place, if you've never repented of it, just quietly repent before the Lord so that the enemy has no legal authority from stopping you from being blessed. Amen? Is that a good deal? Okay. Being immoral with someone. Strangers shall be filled with your wealth, Proverbs 5:10 says. You know, the scripture says being immoral with a woman, but I just wanted to make certain that just being immoral either side, casualties of wars on both sides. Being lazy, so shall poverty come, Proverbs 6:11 says. Getting money by evil deeds or evil means, the Lord casts away the substance of the wicked. Failing to be faithful and diligent, he becomes poor that deals with a slack hand. For some reason, for my notes and pencil, I failed to give you the appropriate proverbs, and I'm sorry. I thought I went over this 1,000 times. Co-signing a credit or a credit note. Whoever puts up security for a stranger will surely suffer. Proverbs 11:15. I do want to share this with you for wisdom's sake. If you're willing to do that for a family member, you got to understand that you have to give your expectations to God, because the only reason why a lending institution will give money, never believe when somebody comes to you, a long-lost relative or a friend, and say, you're only going to be the co-signer. No. The only reason why the bank's going to advance you the money is because you're the co-signer. It's your strength that's going to allow that person to get the credit. So if you're going to do this in the context of a building credit for a family member, if you are, and please, you better treat it properly as if you're giving a blessing without expecting anything to be repaid. Or else don't do it. If God tells you to help the person, help them. But they'll co-sign. Because the scripture says the borrower becomes a slave to the lender. It's better that the person prays and says, I want to help you out, or nothing. Because even a good relationship, if you lend money to your best friend even, if you lend them, something weird happens to that relationship. The person that was given the money thought he was doing good. This person ends up despising that person for doing something with this person thought was good. Because there's a scriptural principle, the borrower is a slave to the lender, and good relationships are really affected. So if you're not willing to give the money as a trust or a gift with no expectations of it getting back, do that. But if you're going to lend it, you're going to put that person that loves you, that likes you, in a situation where they're going to not like you anymore, even though you did something what you thought was good. Because there's a scriptural principle, the borrower becomes a slave to the lender, and it'll destroy a good relationship. So, and you don't want to have anybody as your slave anyway. Okay, so if God doesn't put it on your heart to help somebody with no strings attached, don't help them. It's better not to help them than to give them a loan, interest, note, and then the relationship goes south, even though you did something good. And then that person that received, was the benefactor of the money, all of a sudden gets in a difficult situation and despises the person who helped them. I've seen this biblically, and I also seen it because I was in banking a long time ago, back in the 70s. We got through that one, all right. Having a stingy attitude on the inside of your page. And as I mentioned these, I don't want anybody walking in guilt here. As one thing about here at First Assembly is when we deal with these issues, we deal with them so therefore there's now no condemnation of them that are in Christ Jesus. These are some truths that maybe that you've lost or maybe never taught, and now they're coming to you as fresh revelation or renewed revelation. Satan's going to sit here and make you feel guilty. No, you don't feel guilty. You renounce him, but then make some necessary changes in your philosophy, in your heart, and ask God to give you the grace so you could start walking out precepts of truth. Okay? Is that a good deal? Okay. Having a stingy attitude, it tends to poverty. Eventually, it will tend to poverty. Proverbs 11:24. Getting money dishonestly, it shall be diminished. Proverbs 13:11. Refusing to listen to sound teaching and correction. The scripture says that poverty and shame shall be to him. We shouldn't feel stupid or get proud if somebody has a gift of giving, or they might know something or have a track record better than we have. If anything, we should be humble to want to learn from them with the necessary disciplines so that we can walk in those things and also become the benefactor of those principles. Proverbs 22:1 says, a good name is better to be had than great riches. But three verses later, in Proverbs 22:4 says, for by humility, and it takes humbleness to admit that I might be able to learn something from somebody else. God help us. For by humility and the fear of the Lord come riches, honor, and life. It's because God gives gifts severally as he sees fit for the sake of all, the scripture says. So we shouldn't feel insecure because somebody else has a gift different than we do. Okay, we should learn how to operate in all these gifts, but to understand that we always have room to improve. Idle communication and murmuring, Proverbs 14:23, it tends only to poverty. Be careful if you have a covetous spirit, a cheap spirit, talking bad against people who you think is living better than you are, or because they're generous givers, you think that there's a wrong motive tied to it. Don't have a communist, socialist, covetous mindset. You will never get out of that poverty mindset, and it'll pass on generationally if you don't renounce it and repent from it. And then, being slothful, you shall suffer hunger. Rejecting the cry of the poor, you shall cry and not be heard. Proverbs 21:13. Loving mainly pleasure, you'll become a poor man. Proverbs 21:17. Giving to the rich, surely come to poverty. Proverbs 22:16. Now, you know, you read that and you say, well, it's not fair. That doesn't seem right. What is God trying to say? Sure, it's good to be able to bless somebody that's rich that you have a relationship with, long as it's not with the wrong motive to try to get something back. And I believe that's why the Holy Spirit penned the scripture there. Because there would be a mindset in the first century, if they give to the rich, their motives were to get something back from them. Okay? So let's let the scripture guard our heart, because there's a strict warning there. Okay? Not that the rich or the wealthy don't deserve. No, because the scripture says in Deuteronomy, God gives power for people to obtain wealth. Okay? And it's not in a carnal, temporal thing. It's a deep thing that is by reason of use and faithfulness. So you want to make certain there's a right mindset there. Getting drunk or being a glutton shall come to poverty, will come to poverty, Proverbs 23:21. Charging interest on loans gathers it for him who will pity the poor, Proverbs 28:8. Following vain persons, you will have poverty, Proverbs 28:19. Trying to get rich quick. I just put Proverbs down because you'll see it all through the book of Proverbs. Okay? Just ask the people in these hedge funds. Okay? You know, especially the large ones. I know people, and I don't feel bad or rejection from it, that purposely would tell people not to come to me because pastor will obviously say no. You know? Because something that guarantees a quick increase, because I've just seen it over the years, and I've seen it most importantly through Scripture first, and then the reality of it. It ends up really hurting people, because riches gained quickly will find herself like eagle's wings, and they fly away. It's part of God's economics. Anything that comes quickly that way, there's usually strings, especially if it's a a pyramid scheme, and there's been a lot of sincere Christians that have had their wealth lost because it seemed too good to be true. I'm waiting for the rest of that. If it seems too good to be true, there you go. You're a sharp bunch. Robbing God. Will a person rob God? Yet you are robbing me in tithes and contributions. Malachi 3:8. Notes from the test teaching, okay, which we're going to have now. God must be first. And you know, the beautiful thing is when you start new levels of biblical truth, sometimes they're renewed levels of biblical truth. And God says it's good to recapture these convictions. Sometimes people won't walk in the convictions because they've built a pseudo-theology on self or covetousness. And how tragic it is to build a philosophy or theology on something that stops the kingdom of God or the ability to reach souls, since our life is so short. So if you have stopped walking in these principles, please start walking again and watch that God will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you can't contain. And because he's faithful and he loves us, and he wants us to have our faith and trust in him.